Amen. Brother Willis, you come on. You mind the Lord tonight, preacher.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. All right, well, it's a joy to be here. So, praise the Lord. I don't know what to say. Amen. I do know this is kind of switched around. Amen. Probably some of you did come to hear Brother Barry. Amen. You're in for a real disappointment, I'm going to tell you that. Dear God, the balcony's full. We got him in the balcony. Lord have mercy. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here. We just had a meeting like this weekend at our church. Amen. Matter of fact, I think them songs Brother Doug and him sang was supposed to be sang at our church, and they didn't get to come, so I got to hear them up here. Amen. But that was great singing, y'all. That was wonderful singing. Amen. And Brother Doug leave? No, he's right there. Amen. That was great singing, Brother Doug. I love that's camp. To me, that's camp meeting singing. I love camp meeting singing. I don't really know what it is, but I love it. I don't know whether a different key or a different beat or what it is, but I just love camp meeting singing. That was absolutely great. Amen. And we're glad for you in the balcony. Amen. Can y'all see up there? Praise the Lord. And so we had a meeting like this in our church this weekend on a similar order. And I made a statement, being the moderator, I guess, the man that, you know, gets every, you know, directs who's preaching and who's singing. And I made this statement. I said, I'd rather preach them than have them. Now tonight, amen, I'd rather have them than preach them. Amen. I think you understand that. Don't you all understand that? I really meant it when I said it. I'd rather preach them than have them. I really meant that. Amen. But now tonight, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be having it than preaching it. Amen. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Brother Buster, thank you for the great preaching this afternoon. Dear God, I don't need, you probably need to be preaching that tonight. Amen. I think the pastor messed up on that. But anyway, got the order reversed on the, even today he's got it all messed up. Amen. But that need to be preached tonight. Amen. I don't know of a day we need that kind of preaching any more than we do today. And I don't want to start on a negative note. I just had a missionary we support, and I just sent out some questionnaires to missionaries, you know, just simple. I mean, about 10 or 12 questions. Amen. And he answered them all in the positive for us, and then we see him on Facebook doing the opposite. And that's a sad day. I mean, that don't make me mad anymore. It used to make me mad. I think I'm old enough to say this. That don't make me mad. It just hurts me. It hurts me to see us ruining our standards, giving up, amen, becoming like the world. And we're talking about the best of the crop. We ain't talking about just churchmen. We're talking about those called out, those sent out. I done got this all messed up, amen. But, Lord, we need preaching like that, amen. I think I'm a dance with the one who brung me. I ain't switching partners. You know, I hope it don't come off wrong. I'm getting old enough now. I'm just saying a few things I've been wanting to say all my life.
Yeah.
I'm 70 years old now. I'm going to say what I want to say. Amen. Amen. I hope you like it. If you don't like it, still love me anyway. Pray for me. Amen. You got to get 70 to do that. I've arrived. In age now, not in spirituality, but in age, I have arrived. Amen. So don't you, none of you young whippersnappers, come hand me no stuff. Amen. I'm old enough to say this now. Amen. Won't that sound brave? I get brave when I get about 3 steps up. Amen. Praise God. I get back down on the floor, I'm scared to death. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's good to be here. This is wonderful. Amen. I got to eat supper with y'all tonight. I don't normally get to do that. And thank you for the great meal. Great meal. And I was mentioning to Brother Barry, I didn't, most Tuesday nights, the choir don't sing. Am I telling that right, Brother Jarvis?
Yes, that's right.
I was right about that, wasn't it, Brother Jarvis?
Right.
Most Tuesday nights, because when I get out, I don't remember the choir singing. Great job, choir. That was a great job, choir. Thank y'all for that great singing. Amen. All right, I want you to take your Brother Buster, with all that great preaching today, made a comment before he preached. And it helped, it just settled me. He said, probably some of y'all have heard this message. I said, glory to God. But I know that's what God wants me to preach. That's what he said. I know some of y'all probably heard this message, and I ain't sure that's what God wants me to preach. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Praise God. No, this is what the Lord settled me on. I did try to go some other directions. Amen. But this is what the Lord settled me on. Amen. I feel confident of that. Amen. I'm saying, is that what he said? I tried to go a few other directions. The Lord wouldn't let me. Went back out to the car. Did it again. Lord wouldn't let me. Amen. So I'm settled. If you've heard it, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Stand with me if we'll read the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings. Now, I got a lot of scripture to read. I'm going to try to cut it down so I don't have to read as much. But I do have to read a little bit of scripture for the message tonight. Amen. And it is so good. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
Man, it's good to be among God's people. I am the least. I know all of us think this, all of us say this, and all of us mean this. I am the most unworthy to stand here tonight. And I feel that in my soul. Amen. But I pray the Lord will help us and I could be a blessing with the Lord's help. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a table, a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. He said to Gehazi's servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to this time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said, Carry. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him up and brought him to his mother, he sat on knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Verse number 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming unto him, he said, Take up thy son. I thought that was interesting. Take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet. She didn't take up her son. She fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and then took up her son and went out. I want to try to preach this night with this thought in mind. If you look in verse 32, the last part of verse number 20, verse 20. The Bible said, and when he had taken him up and brought him to his mother, sat on his knees till noon and then died. And then the Bible said in verse 32, and Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead. Now I want to try to preach on this thought tonight, resurrecting a dead miracle. Resurrecting a dead miracle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be here tonight. I pray now you'd help me. I pray, God, you'd give me liberty to preach and speak tonight. God, I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm not here to be a performer. I'm not here to make somebody laugh. I'm here to try to challenge the people of God. And Lord, we would all be drawn closer to you. I consider this an awesome, awesome responsibility of all the great men in this room and of all the great men Brother Jarvis knows to let me stand here. God, unworthy though I am, would you help me just for a few minutes to be a blessing and a help to the people of God? And I pray you'd get glory, somebody get help, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Resurrecting or reviving a dead miracle. I think we all see the story that in the first part of our reading tonight, here's a man and a woman who cannot have a child. And yet God, through the providential working of God and the man of God, this woman was enabled to have a child. Now we would all agree this child is a miracle child. God is going to resurrect a miracle child. Amen. So I think that's the thought of what I want to say. This child is a miracle child. that was supernaturally born. Amen. The daddy was old, the mama evidently was beyond childbearing, and yet God resurrected a miracle child. Amen. So I want to try to talk with the Lord's help on that tonight. First of all, this being a great woman by introduction, it's very evident this was a great woman. She was a great worker, she was a great witness, and she was a great worship of God. When they came to her and said, "Is everything well?" Her husband was not what he ought to be. Her child was dead. She was no doubt in very serious condition, spiritually speaking. And she said, "Everything is well." So I say that to say this. This woman had to be a lover of God. She had to love God and worship God for some of the things she did in this text. Amen. So her concern for the work of God, and God gave her a miracle. She was very concerned about the work of God, so God blessed her with a miracle. Now I see that in the sense that with the man of God, she constrained him to eat. In verse number 8, the Bible said, "This woman fell on the day that Elisha passed the Shunammite. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat." Talking about the man of God. When's the last time you had to preach over to eat? Now just don't know me. Just a while ago, amen. So she constrained the man of God to eat. Notice this. She not only constrained to eat, she constructed a chamber. In verse number 10, the Bible said, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee." Now notice the woman is taking the lead. It wasn't the man said, "Let's build this man of God a chamber." It was the lady, the woman of Shunem that said, "Let's build this man of God a chamber so we can rest him and get him comfortable." Amen. She was concerned about the work of God, and she showed that through taking care of the man of God. Because she was concerned. I want to just hit that point tonight. Amen. Because she was concerned about the work of God, she showed that through taking care of the man of God. And that's just a fact. Amen. I'm not here to exalt the man. I'm here to exalt the position. When God's people honor the man of God, God will honor the church. When God's people honor the man of God, God will honor them. Amen. I don't want to say nothing wrong tonight. I have a man, nobody ever told him to do this. I have a man in my church that every Sunday morning, now you may think this is a little insignificant, but I have a man in my church that every Sunday morning, he comes by my office, either him or his son, and most of the time both of them, and he brings me a sandwich. Every Sunday morning, he brings me something to drink. He brings me a sandwich. Every Sunday morning around 8 o'clock, I can count on it. He's going to be there with a sandwich. Now, hey, listen to me now. You may think I'm way out on a limb. He's got a business. God, he was struggling. I didn't come to preach this. He was struggling in his business. But he started doing that. And now he has got more work than he can even get to. Here's my point. Here's my point. And I didn't come to preach this really, but while I'm here, I'm going to. You take care of the man of God, and God will take care of you. Now, I don't believe in this preacher worship stuff. That's a bunch of junk. I don't believe in that. I put that down. But I'm telling you, there's something about honoring the man of God, and God will honor you. Amen and amen. I'll tell you what God did for this woman. She, the longing of her life was to have a child. And she took care of the man of God, and the man of God took care of her. Amen and amen. So she was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat. She constructed a chamber. She was creative in her thoughts. What did she do? She put in that chamber a bed. Amen. A stool, a candle. Amen. In other words, she knew the man of God needed to be comfortable so he could rest and then he could preach the Word of God. Yeah. Now my brother tells me all I do is ride around and dress up. My brother says, "Albert, it looks like to me all you do is dress up and ride around and eat out." That's what he tells me. My brother, that's why I'm preaching tonight instead of tomorrow night. He's having serious surgery tomorrow. Pray for my brother. He's not saved. And I want to be there for that. Amen. And he appreciates what I'm doing. I think he's joking. I hope he's joking. Amen. Amen. I told my brother, I said, "Eddie, if this is so wonderful, I tell you how you can do it." He said, "How is that?" I said, "Get saved." He said, "It's a pretty day, isn't it?" Are y'all listening? I'm simply saying this woman took care of this man of God, and this man of God, hey, through the help of God, took care of this woman. Amen. So notice, hey, she was creative in her thoughts. She put a bed and a stool and a table, amen, to make the man of God comfortable, amen. Because I'll tell you something, church, I'm not crying tonight. I've never lived any better. But I'll tell you, there's a little bit of pressure in preaching.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of pressure in pastoring. Yes, amen. I ain't getting enough amens on that. There is some pressure in preaching. There is some pressure in pastoring, amen.
Amen.
Hey, take care. Again, I don't want to get in all that, but take care of the man of God, and God will take care of you.
Amen.
Amen. She got the desires of her heart. She got the desires of her heart. God gave her a miracle. Amen and amen. I'm glad to see some people thoughtful about that.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a lot. I do. I got some. I heard how preachers say all the time, I don't have no sad stories to tell. Really, they're lying. I got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And y'all do too. But we're trying to be positive. I don't have no sad stories to tell. You're lying. You just told me one.
Yeah.
And I ain't trying to be funny. I'm telling you, we all got sad stories to tell. But I've traveled, I've been able to get to travel a little bit, amen. And I've been put in some places that wasn't comfortable. I've been put on some hard beds. I mean, most of my journey's been very comfortable, amen. I deserve to sleep on a hard bed.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it is something about going to a place and you got to fight a lot of junk during the day to preach at night. I think one stands out in my mind. A man had me come preach one time, and I won't get into all the details, but when we got there, he took us behind the church and said, y'all going to be staying right here. I said, wonderful. And so me and my wife walked in, and the time we stepped in the door, it was evident. It was like something in that trailer, like a skunk. Literally.
Yeah.
It had long shag carpet in the trailer, and I'm telling you, it got in my nostrils. It got in my clothes. And I told my wife, I said, now we're here for a week. I don't know how we're going to live in this. And I'm telling you, that night when I walked into church, I'm not saying this to be funny. I felt like we smelled like a skunk. He never said nothing about it. He said the cup's over here and the coffee's over here. You know, the towels are here. He never mentioned that smell. And so he walked out and I said, honey, what are we going to do? I said, we got to get ready because it's almost time for church. So we went on to church that night. Church had a good service. Church got out. We went back. I said, now we got to wait till everybody clears out because we can't sleep in there. There was no way. And I said, let everybody clear out and then we'll sleep in the car. Because I didn't want to embarrass him. I didn't want to tell him, man, these accommodations are not nice. So I said, we'll just sleep in the car. So we got in the car, pulled the seats back, laid back, me and my wife, and the neighbor's dog started barking. And I said, now here's what's going to happen. The neighbors are going to come out here, they're going to see us in the car, and they're going to tell the preacher tomorrow, why was them people sleeping in the car? And so I said, so I got out, and I ain't trying to tell you this to be funny. I went over there to the dog, I said, shh. Yeah, God, they did cranked up then. The whole neighborhood of dogs is barking. I said, honey, this ain't working. I said, let's pray they left the church open and we'll go get in the church and we'll sleep in the church if the back door's open. Well, we went and the back door was open. So we walked on in. We went in the nursery. Amen. We went over there to the crib and I got the mattress out the crib. I put the mattress on the floor and we slept on the baby mattress. It's the first time my feet ever hung off the end of a bed. Is anybody listening? They didn't have no consideration for the man of God coming, amen. Are y'all listening? This woman was creative in her thoughts. She prepared for the preacher. Amen. You've heard Brother Jarvis up here, and all of us that's done this knows this. We want you to be comfortable. I mean, the thought of our heart when you come, we want you to be comfortable. You are guests. You're the man of God. We want to take care of you, amen. God blesses the church that does that.
Amen.
Amen. She got her miracle. Because she cared for the man of God, I'm going to lay it on that. Because she cared for the man of God talked to God, and God took care of her and gave her a miracle. But here's the message. She lost her miracle. The miracle died. Now listen to this. She was involved in that miracle. Amen. She fed it. She clothed it. She educated. She was involved in that miracle. She was infatuated with that miracle. She loved that miracle. She lived for that miracle. She never had a child before. Her life is wrapped up in this miracle. Would y'all help me, church? She's invested in this miracle. She invested time. She invested training. She invested treasure. Why? She was wrapped up. I understand this miracle was 5 years old. Her whole life is involved in this miracle. She thought she could never have this miracle. And her whole life revolves around this miracle. But the miracle died. Are you listening? It's gone. Her very heart is torn out of her. That her miracle that she had so wrapped herself in is gone. Amen. Notice when it died in the harvest. Bible said they were in the field. And the Bible said it died at harvest time. Notice when it died. It died in the heat of the day. It died at noontime. Notice when it died. It died with head problems. Are you listening? She could have blamed somebody for that. She could have been provoked and angry and blamed her husband. He seemed very unconcerned. I don't know what you preachers preach, but while I'm preaching tonight, I see him to be very passive. I see her husband to be very passive. Matter of fact, when the child had a head problem, he didn't even stop working in the field. He called some lad to take his own boy back to his mama. He was so involved in the field that he didn't even stop his work to take his child back to his mama. I find him to be very passive. When he got back, notice this, not only did he get back, didn't take his child, he also, notice this, he made her saddle the donkey. Look with me in verse number 22. And she called, said unto her husband, said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may go to the man of God and come again. He's not taking him to the man of God. He's getting his wife to take him to the man of God. Y'all help me in that church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the Bible said in verse 24, and she saddled the ass. This man is so passive that he doesn't even stop to take his sick boy to his mama. Not only that, he don't even saddle the donkey for his wife. She had every right to be upset at her husband. You know, a lot of men are passive. Amen. Are y'all listening? They don't see the need. The woman is taking the lead. Thank God for a good woman. Where would I be without a good wife? I don't even feel comfortable preaching tonight. She's not here. She's normally always with me. Amen. I'm just telling you, thank God for a good wife that helps you and living for God. A lot of us wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for a good wife. Amen. So I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, he doesn't count his wife. He's not assisting his wife. He's not helping his wife. And I say this with the authority God's given me. She could have been very upset at her partner. But I'll tell you what the Bible said, that she said, he come up with a little bit later. He said, is everything well? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she said, is it well with you? They said, is it well with you? She said, everything's well. She wasn't mad at her husband. That takes a good woman. Let me brag on her tonight while she's not here. I wouldn't want to embarrass she was here. I'll tell you what, thank God for my wife. When I used to get drunk and stay out all night, I'd come in the morning, my wife would have breakfast fixed for me. When I'd stay all night rambling with the boys, I'd come in and I'd go to work the next day. My wife would have breakfast on the table. And I'd go to work the next day with the boys I run with. They'd say, I didn't come to say all this, but I'm going to say it. I'd get to work, and the fellas I used to run with, the juke joints and the dives and all that, they say, man, when I got home last night, me and my wife had a knockdown drag out. Said, what'd your wife say, Willis? I said, she fixed my breakfast. They said, dear God, I wish I had a wife like that. I said, I wish I had one like yours. I'd rather fight. Somebody help me. How you gonna fight with somebody you've done so wrong and they're doing so right?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you, that testimony got me saved. Ah! Hallelujah. I'm simply saying to us tonight, thank God for a good wife when we're so sorry and low down sometimes. Hey, think about your wife. You preach to her. And she knows you. You talk about a good church member. Somebody help me. That's the best point I got, amen. I just got that point, amen. Hey, you got a wife sits out there and knows all your ways, and you get up and tell them, have great faith, and she's seen you with no faith. Just believe God. You tell, believe God, church. Believe God. You go home and say, honey, you reckon God's going to do that? Oh, y'all help me. I ain't trying to make you laugh. Amen. Notice this. Notice this. She could have been upset with her partner. She could have been upset with the preacher. Do you know what? Do you know what? Do you know what Elisha did? When he found out that child was dead, he sent Gehazi out there. Now, wait a minute now. This is the woman that's giving him that apartment, that bed, that stool, all them good things. She's taking, this is the woman that because of Elisha, she's got a child and her boy dies and Elisha don't even come. He sends the assistant pastor. But she could have been upset with the preacher.
Yeah.
Hey, Phillip's my help at the church. Amen. And I had a good family in my church and the child died. If I had any family in my church and the child died, like this child died, I'd drop everything I'm doing. I'd run to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know what Elisha did? God, his eye go down there and help her.
Good.
She didn't get mad at the preacher.
No.
Let me preach on that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to my message. She did not even get mad at the preacher. I would have got mad at the preacher over that. Amen. She's a good woman. Sounds like a Mother's Day message. Are y'all listening? Amen. Notice this. She's mourning over the loss of this miracle. She wants it back. She wants this miracle back. Now I'll tell you sometime. I'll tell you now. You lose a miracle, it's going to take some effort to get it back. Notice, number one, she had to saddle the donkey. That's the type of the flesh.
Yeah.
If you can get your miracle back, you're going to have to saddle the flesh. Because
yeah.
The flesh wants it back yesterday.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. So it took effort. A matter of fact, I read where to get up to Elisha was 20 miles. And then it was 20 miles to go get him and 20 miles back. It was 40 miles this woman went to get the man of God. And she wasn't riding in a Lexus. Are y'all listening? She was riding on a donkey. She wanted this miracle back so much, she got on the donkey and rode 40 miles to get this miracle back. Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening? Amen. She wouldn't give up. You know what? Elisha said, no, notice with me. Notice with me real quick. Verse 24, I believe it is. Verse number 30. Verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. In other words, she said, Elisha said, you go on and I'm coming. She said, I'm not leaving you, Elisha. When she said that, I can't help but think of chapter 2. When Elijah was going up to Jordan, he told Elisha to wait there. He said, no, where you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Hey, he said, I'm going up to Bethel, you wait there. He said, no, man of God, where you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Hey, he said, you wait there. I'm going up to Jordan, you wait there. He said, no, where you go, I'm going. And when this woman said, I'm not leaving you. Oh, Elisha, probably that brought back memories. He said, I remember when I did that and I got a double portion of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all listening? Help me. Trying to get to my message. Y'all help me. Amen. She went back to the source to get it back. She went back to the source. She went back to the man of God to get her miracle back. Amen. Matter of fact, the very bed and room that she gave the man of God is where the child was laid. You know where the child was resurrected? On the gift that she gave the man of God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Now when they get back, verse 32, when he gets down there, the child is dead. The miracle is dead. This joy, all that she longed for in life is dead. But notice this. In verse 34, the Bible said in the latter part, the last word, it waxed warm. Amen. From dead to warm. Notice in verse number 32, and the child sneezed. Now this dead miracle is making noise. Amen. Notice verse 33, the Bible said, and he opened his eyes. The miracle that's dead, amen, is now warm, is now making noise, has now got his eyes open. Amen. Then he said, take him up. Now this miracle's alive. Are y'all listening? I'll tell you, sometimes when you lose your miracle, you can't get it back right away. Might be a process. I think some people think they can just get out of the will of God and get back in tomorrow. It might be a process.
Yes, sir.
I've seen people get out. I've seen people start off in the front row of church. It's like every preacher. I've seen people in our church in 34 years start off in the front row shouting, egging me on, move back a little further, get on the back row, and the next thing they're out the door. Literally. I've seen that. Y'all seen that. Are y'all listening? Amen and amen. But now, I've also seen them come back.
Yeah.
And when they get back in, they don't know exactly how to act. Uh-huh. Somebody help me.
Yeah.
I'm calling that sneeze a noise. Amen.
Yeah.
Achoo! Yeah. Y'all go get this in a minute. I've seen them come back. And they don't just come right in. Amen. Like they probably shouldn't. But they come back in. Amen. And you can see them warming up. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
Yeah.
Then you can preach a little bit. And us that preached a while, we know. We see their eyes getting open.
Yeah.
We see them getting warmed up. Amen. We hear them go, achoo. They're making noise again.
Yeah.
What a blessed day when, hey, God's people leave the house of God to see them come back to the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I got a boy, this happened. I didn't even think of this right then. I got a boy started. When I started Life Baptist Church, they had a towel company. They went all over the country putting up towels. And he was one of the ones that was in on starting our church. And he's so far from God. He is so far from God. You couldn't. He's like the third heaven. He's so far from God. This weekend in our meeting, he was there Friday night on the front row. He was there. He was there Saturday, all day Saturday. On the front row. He was there all day yesterday on the front row. And I looked over at him and he was wiping tears out of his eye. He as mean as a junkyard dog. He was wiping tears out of his eye. I mean hard down, mean, redneck. And he's wiping tears out of his eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's warming up.
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting his eyes opening. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You said there's hope for him. There's hope for him.
Yeah.
Not many get back. Thank God to see some movement of God in his life.
Amen.
Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say to us, hey, this miracle now has got his eyes on. This miracle now is alive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What has that got to do with our message? Well, I remember when I had a miracle conversion. I had a miracle birth.
Yes, sir.
This was a miracle birth.
Yes.
And I remember when I had a miracle birth. And you remember when you had a miracle birth. Are you listening to me? Well, I'll tell you, you can't lose it. But it can get cold. It can grow dead.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, my one, when this woman had this child, she fed it every morning.
Yeah.
And there was no doubt in my mind, she fed this miracle every morning. Could I say to you, when you first got saved, you fed it every morning.
Yeah.
You fed it the milk. Hey, as newborn babies, it's out of sincere milk. Every morning when you first had this miracle birth, you fed it every morning.
Yeah.
Hey, she talked to this miracle every morning. Amen. But now, she ain't able to talk to it. It's dead. Are y'all listening? You know, this is what I read. I hope this is not true. This is what I read. I read where only 3% of God's people consistently read their Bible. Do you know why we're in trouble we're in?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we don't have. You know, I told our church this. Brother Robert, I told our church this. We preach all kinds of stuff, and we need to, supposed to, have to. But I'm telling you, if you ain't reading your Bible and praying, ain't nowhere else to go.
That's it.
3% read the Bible every day faithfully. No wonder we're in trouble. The Bible said the world is held together by the Word of God. How you gonna hold your life together without the Word of God? But I'll tell you how your miracle grows dead. You don't feed it anymore. Amen. You don't talk to it anymore. I would imagine that woman. I would imagine that woman was so in love with that mirror because she couldn't have it. She couldn't. I would imagine she probably got up in the middle of the night and went in there and checked on that baby, and that baby would be sleeping.
Yeah.
And she'd probably say, "Oh, I just wish I could talk to him. I wish I could hug him, amen." And she'd walk out of the room, and go, and he'd wake. Ah! Did I wake you up, sugar?
Yeah.
She wanted to talk to him. I can experience that. I remember going to the room and seeing my children sleep. And you want to talk to them, pinch them. Tell somebody help me, man. Can't y'all tell I need help? Sometimes God bumps you in the middle of the night and you think it's to go to the restroom and He just wants to talk to you.
Yeah. That's good.
You didn't talk to Him that day, so He'll wake you up in the... Somebody help me, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm trying to tell you that you got to talk to the miracle.
Amen.
You got to feed the miracle, amen. I was preaching in North Carolina for Billy Seeds, and he had a man staying with him who was a retired preacher. His name was Dr. Reniger. Dr. Reniger had 4 earned doctorate degrees. 4 earned. Preached with Dr. Sighton and Brother Roloff, and they preached for him. He was staying with Billy Seeds, living with Billy Seeds. He was in the revival. And so after I preached one night, I evidently preached some on the new birth. We sat down at the table in Billy's house, and he said this. He said, "Brother Willis, what do you believe about that new birth?" Now, he's got 4 earned doctorate degrees. He said, "What do you believe about that new birth?" And I ain't smart, but I'm this smart. I said, "What do you believe?" He said, "Well, here's what I believe." He said, "I believe God breathed in Adam the breath of life." I said, "I believe that. Amen." He said, "I believe that God breathed on the disciples. I believe God breathed on the church. I believe God going to breathe on Israel. And I believe the night I got saved, God breathed in me the Holy Ghost." I said, "That's exactly what I believe in." I'll tell you, the older I get and the longer I preach, this new birth stuff is a miracle of God. It's more than turning over a new leaf. It's more than doing better. It's more than living a good life. You got to be born of the power of the Holy Ghost of God. When you do, the Holy Ghost comes in you. I'm talking about God moves in you. That's why we're having trouble trying. I preached for a preacher one time. Here's what he said. He said, "I don't preach on church attendance." I said, "Dear God, you take that out of my message. I'm in fix." He said, "I don't preach on church attendance." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If a person don't come to church, their problem ain't church attendance." He said, "They got a deeper problem than that." Amen and amen. Are y'all listening to me? When you get born of the Spirit of God, ain't nobody got to beg you to come to church.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be wondering why we don't have more churches.
Amen.
Somebody help me. Amen. I'm just simply saying to us tonight, hey, when you had a conversion, don't let it get cold. Don't let it get dead. You better feed it. I'll tell you something else. You know what causes your miracle conversion to get cold? The heat of our day. Now, I don't know. I've only been living 70 years, but I've never seen a day that's so much pressure.
Yes.
Amen. We're fighting pornography. Amen. All kind of problems. Pornography. Amen. Pressure. Liberal preachers. Somebody told me just upstate. Somebody just told me upstate now. There's a Baptist church upstate that's going to ordain gays and lesbians. A Baptist church. First Baptist church. Y'all said that. I didn't. What? Out of Greenville on the camera, amen. They said it, amen. I think that's an abomination.
Amen.
You know what? We're fighting liberal preachers. And I didn't come to preach this, but I'm going to say, I'll tell you, we don't need to throw in the towel, let up the standard. We need to tighten down the hat and preach.
Amen.
I had a middle-aged preacher call me not long ago, and we were talking on the phone about the pressures of our day. He said, "Brother Willis, one good thing about you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Your race is about over." I mean, he said that right. I mean, I'm saddened. He said, "You ain't got much longer. I mean, at the best, you ain't got much longer to go." He said, "I'm a middle-aged preacher." He said, "I got a ways to go." He said, "What about the young preachers?" I'm not saying this to discourage you tonight. I'm telling you, man, the way things is going now, something don't turn around. How you taking a stand? Brother Doug, I was preaching up in West Virginia, Brother Doug, and a preacher, I said something. I said, there's talking about standing for God. I said, there's probably people down in these around these mountains, amen. Amen, Brother Spencer, you remember that? I said, probably preachers around these mountains ain't got but a handful. And I said, they're staying with God. And God's going to bless their faithfulness. I got through preaching. An older preacher come over to me. And I had mentioned they're probably pastoring 2 or 3. And an older preacher come over to me. And he called me to the side. He said, "Brother Willis." He said, "I'm that preacher you're talking about." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I got 2. He said, "But if I can get it up to 10, I'm going to get you back for a revival." I like it. It ain't hard to preach to a crowd. Hello. Amen. I preached to 2 before.
Yeah.
Amen. I preached over Brother Raines one night to over 1,000. Then I preached to two. And both of them was on the back row, and one had just killed his daddy. You know what Dr. Stanfield told me? Clarence Stanfield told me? He said, Brother Willis, you know why you got to preaching over 1,000 one night? I said, why? He said, because you preached to two. Glory! That's a little wisdom up the mountain. Hallelujah! I'm just simply saying, we're living a day that the heat is on the press. Hey, he died because he got too busy in the field. I'm telling you something, men of God, you better don't get so busy you're not reading your Bible. Well, I can skip a couple of days and get back. I'm telling you, you better don't miss your prayer closet, amen. Hey, the devil has got a target on us, amen. Amen. Hey, your conversion might have got cold over marital conflict. You can't tell me that woman and that man wasn't having some problems. There were some problems in that home. It may not look like it, but I'm telling you, if I had a husband like that, I would have been upset, but she was a good woman. Marital conflicts will cool your conversion off. Are you listening? Hey, notice this. He died with head problems. I'm telling you, church, please, I'm not saying this to be funny. I don't want to keep saying that. Dear God, there's people who do things today. Good sense to tell you not to do that. I mean, you see people do things today. It's like they got a bone in their head. You did what? Good sense would forget salvation. Good sense would tell you not to do that. Man, I've seen some people do some boneheaded things now. Is anybody listening? You always listen to Brother Buster. I don't want you to listen to me. Amen. Well, I'm just saying your conversion can cool off. Amen. So don't get over your miracle conversion. Number two, don't get over the miracle of your church. Are you listening to me? Hey, the greatest thing God gave us after salvation is the church. Don't get over it. Amen. Don't let it grow cold. Don't let it get dead on you. Amen. When you first got to your church, you couldn't get over the singing. When you first got there, you said, man, I ain't never heard singing like this. I didn't know they were singing like this before I got saved. I mean, all I ever heard growing up was, it'd be enough to make you want to go home and go to bed. That's the truth. I mean, Jerry Wayne Carter's in our church, he calls it round mouth singing. Whatever that means. Are y'all listening? When you first got to your church and they started singing, you said, where has this been? But now you've been there a while. And now when the choir sings, you say, didn't they sing that last Sunday? Now they get up and sing a special, amen. And you say, man, they just sang that. I wish they'd learned some new songs. Amen. You couldn't get over the sermons. When you first got there and Brother Robert Jarvis opened up that Bible and preached that Bible, you said, wow, what preaching? And now he opens it up, and you look down there, and you got it marked, amen. And you said, he preached that not long ago. See it right? I got it marked in my Bible. How you know that? Because they do it to me. But I got news for you. You can get more than one sermon out of one text. That's right. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm just saying, don't get over the miracle of your church. It's easy to get used to church. It's easy to get used to the singing. It's easy to get used to the brothers and saints. Amen. Don't get over the saints of God. You know what I thought about? I thought about when I was preaching this. Amen. Hey, she stayed in. You ought to stay infatuated with your church. When you first got here, you was infatuated. You was involved in your church. You was invested in your church. Your time, your talents, your trade. You were invested. Amen. You couldn't get over the saints of God. Sister so-and-so get over there and testify, have a little spell and wave a hand. You say, oh, man, that's a blessing. Yeah. Now she does that and said, I done heard that testimony 10 times. Yeah. Jeff Cross and our church got saved in a cornfield. And I am telling you, I bet you I've heard that testimony 500 times. I don't think I'm exaggerating. 500 times. I want to tell you all about when I got saved in a cornfield. Yeah. Brother Rain said it was a conversion. Yeah. I am telling you, I've heard it and heard it and heard it. Our church has heard it and heard it and heard it. He ran out in a cornfield after me, fell on his face in the cornfield, got gloriously saved. God changed his life, went home, took his ear rings out, cut his hair. I've heard it 100 times, 500 times. Yeah, amen. And I look at some of our people, they say, Brother, oh God, here we go again. You know why? Because we find out we got faults. After you in church for a while, when you first got there, you think everybody's perfect. Yeah. Amen. But now you've been there a little while. Sister Sam used to testify when you first got there. You didn't know she had no faults.
Yeah.
But now she testified, oh, I know her. Yeah. Now it don't bless you like it used to bless you. You know why? Because this miracle grew. This little miracle that she... Well, ain't no, I preached the mess of my church one time, honestly. I preached on there ain't no pretty babies. I ain't never preached that again. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, when that baby first come there, it had no fault. You could not told mom and daddy that this baby would give you problems. It was a perfect baby. But now it's 5 years old. Now mom and daddy saying that child's got faults. Here's what happens. We get in church. We don't think nobody's got no faults. But as we grow, we find out we got faults. And now the singing don't bless you like it used to. And the saints don't bless you like it used to. And the sermons don't bless you like... Because you found Pastor Jarvis, as good a man as I know, walks in shoe leather, in my opinion, has some faults. And you let all them things get in your mind, Brother Doug, and it'll rob you of the blessings of church. Amen. Hey, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. Sometimes I go to meetings and I see preachers get up and I have to clear my mind. Amen. Because I know some things and he probably knows some things. Some of y'all clearing your mind about me right now. And you know some things about it. But I have to dismiss that. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about a little petty thing that we disagree on. I have to clear my mind. So I can appreciate the message. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying, don't get over the miracle of your church. Amen. Hey, it might not. It grew. This miracle grew. Is your church growing? If the church grows, they may feel like I'm not needed like I used to be. Now the pastor don't have as much time to take up with me as he used to, for we grew. I'm not having that problem. Hello. Amen. Be careful when the miracle grows, you find out it's got faults. You might be feeling neglected. Amen. Hello. Don't get over the miracle of your church. Amen and amen. Hey, don't get over the miracle he's coming. And I ain't going to say a lot about that because we all believe he's coming. But I'll be willing to say this. I've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And he ain't come yet. But I do believe he's coming. And I tell you, if we ever believe he's coming, we ought to believe he's coming now. I don't want that. I don't want to lose the joy. When I first got saved and they told me something about the Lord coming, I was going to a Southern Baptist church, and I'm telling you, it was so liberal. I went to the preacher. I said, "Preacher, you know I'm a brand new convert. I don't know nothing about this. I heard something about a rapture." I said, "Do you know anything about that?" He said, "Not much." That's what he told me. He said, "I've heard stuff about that, but I don't know much about that." I said, "Well, I heard something about a rapture, and I'd like you to explain that." He said, Brother Willis, I know you're a new Christian." He said, "I don't know much about that." So I went to the deacon, and I asked the deacon. He'd been there longer than the past. I said, "Deacon Cone, do you know anything about the Lord coming?" He said, "Well, I've heard it myself, but I don't know much about it." I said, "I even heard that the devil will be put on a chain." He said, "I know about the chain. He's already chained." I said, "Wait a minute now. You're telling me the devil's on a chain?" He said, "Yeah, he's on a chain." And I didn't know much, but I thought this was pretty good for a new convert. I said, "I believe that. I believe he's chained to my leg. Ever since I got saved, I've been fighting the devil."
Yeah, that's right.
I was pretty good for a new convert, amen. I'll tell you, the devil is going to be put on a chain. He put a lot of people on the chain gang. God's going to put him on the chain gang. Yeah. What are you trying to say? I'm simply saying to us tonight, don't get over the miracle. He's coming. I was listening to Fox News, I guess, a month or so ago in my car and riding down the road, and interpreting what Mr. Putin from Russia said. And this is what Mr. Putin said. The interpreter said he said. He said, "The bear is not asleep." I said, "That man's quoting scripture. He don't even know God." He said, "I want y'all to know the bear is not asleep. The Lord's coming." Hallelujah. The bear ain't asleep. The bear is fixing to wake up. Hallelujah. I'm simply saying, the Lord's coming. I read about Mr. Paul Harvey was on the airplane going to Israel, and all these Jews and that was getting on the plane, and he started talking to them. He said, "I know we're all going to Israel. I know you're Jewish. You're going to Israel. Why are you going to Israel? You're going for a visit?" "No, we're going to stay." Well, why are you going? They said, we don't know. He said he talked to Jew after Jew after Jew. And they said, we don't know why we're going. Said, we've sold our business. We've left our family. We're going back to the homeland. We don't really know why. That's the Paul Harvey. What is that phrase he said? You ain't heard the last of the story or something like that. Rest of the story. I know why he's going back. The Lord's coming. Amen. If any crowd ought to be excited about the Lord coming, it ought to be us. I believe He's coming. And I don't know about all this that happened in our country. I don't know if all that signs. I do know this. It tells me that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the Lord said He's coming. I'm excited about it. Amen. I ain't excited about the horse. I ain't never liked horses. Now, I preach that probably here, but I that thing about riding a white horse, coming out, I saw the heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him, called faithful and true, and righteous doth he judge, make war. And his eyes was as a flame of fire. He had on his head many crowns, and a name written, which no man knew, but he himself. He's clothed in a vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies that in heaven followed him on white horses. I'm in that army. So that means I'm going to be riding a white horse. I ain't never liked horses. My daddy raised horses. That's the truth. My daddy broke horses, trained horses, raised horses. I've been stomped. I've been bit. I've been kicked. I've been thrown. I ain't never liked a horse. And now I'm going to be riding one. I know you will laugh at this, but this is the honest God truth. I got on a Shetland pony one time, and they shout. I mean, my feet was about dragging the ground, and he run up behind the mare, and the mare kicked me off of it. I don't like horses, but I'm going to ride one. The Lord's coming. Amen. I wish I could say something to make y'all frown. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm simply saying, don't get over the mirror. I want to still get excited when I hear the Lord's coming. When I hear them prophecy preachers get up, I don't study that probably like I ought to. Amen. I done heard so many false times He's coming. Amen. One preacher said, the Lord's coming by 2000, and if He don't, I'll eat your sock. Well, He ain't come. And He ain't eat my sock either. But I do believe we ought to preach it. But I'm telling you, some of those fellows that study that stuff, I love to hear them tell what's happening, this is happening, that's happening, what's happening in Israel. Amen. And some of y'all know that stuff real good. I love to hear you preach it. It gets me excited the Lord's coming. Amen. I want to be fired up for God when He comes. Amen and amen. Hey, give you this and I'm quit. Notice this. Don't get over the calling of God on your life. Don't let that get cold. A lot of preachers have. I'm telling you what, ain't no time to get cold. I don't want my preaching to get cold. Amen and amen. Amen. Hey, I remember when He called me. You remember when God called you? I was scared to death. I remember I wrote to the missionary, to the prison. And on the way back, he said, I'm preaching tonight. And I knew God was already working on my heart about preaching. And I said, oh my God. And I remember that night, I walked down that aisle and I told the preacher, I said, God's called me to preach. I'd packed my bags in my mind. I'd packed my bags to go to Tabernacle. Already, the night I stepped out and walked down that aisle, I'd packed my bag to go to Tabernacle Bible College. And the Lord didn't let me do that. I didn't go to Bible College. I know some of you said amen to that. But God sent me another direction. Amen. God sent me to start a church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, please don't take this wrong. Please don't take this wrong. You're going to take this wrong, but don't take this wrong. I didn't get to go to Tabernacle. But I preached revivals there. You tell me God ain't a big God. Matter of fact, please don't take this wrong. I hope you don't take this wrong. Dr. Aiken called me the other day and said, Brother Willis, would you come preach revival in November? And I think he thinks I went to Tabernacle. I think the only reason he called me, he thinks I graduated. Don't tell him. Is he on this? Please don't tell him that I didn't. Are y'all listening? But remember, I know God called me. I know I went to my pastor and I told my pastor, I said, preacher, how would I know if God's calling me to preach? He said, you'll know. I went back a couple weeks later and said, preacher, how would I know if God... I mean, tell me the truth. How would I know if God's called me to preach? He said, you'll know. I was wanting more. I was wanting him to tell me more. And I went back to him the last time. I said, preacher, tell me now. Tell me the depth of it. How will I know if God... He said, I want you to go home. Don't think about it. Don't let it into your mind. And he said, get it all out of your mind. It's God's calling you to preach. You know, maybe somebody sitting here tonight in this condition. Are you listening? I tell you, it's all I could think about. And I remember that night, I walked down that aisle and said, I surrender to preach. Amen and amen. It's the greatest thing, Brother Doug, I ever did in my life when I surrendered God to preach the gospel. Are you listening? Did God call you? God's call. I ain't telling you I can. I just know God called me. Amen and amen. He must have been pretty hard up. He called me. Amen. He must have been pretty hard up. He called you. I'm glad God got me out of the pit and put me in the pulpit. I'm glad I ain't a pipe fitter no more. I'm a preacher. I'm glad I ain't taking dope. I'm giving out hope. Amen. You better keep feeding it. And you know what I found out? Who am I to say this? There's older preachers in the room than I am. And it sounds like I'm an old man. I keep saying 70. But I'm telling you, this old body ain't like what it used to be. Had a preacher call me and say, would you come preach for one night for me? I said, yeah. This was just not long ago. I said, yeah, I'll come preach one night. I had forgot to ask him where it was. It was up there by Washington, D.C. So I got in my car and drove almost past Washington, D.C., got out, preached one night, had a funeral the next day. Somebody help me. Don't you feel sorry for me? I drove up there, preached that night, got back in my car, got up 3 o'clock in the morning, drove back home, got up, preached the funeral. My body said, you don't want to preach. But that ain't what, that's the calling. You get in this for the glory of it, you'll quit. Amen. Are y'all listening? You better keep feeding it. Better stay in the field. Better keep investing. Amen. I'm glad God called me and I'm through. Don't get over the miracle of camp meeting. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can come together with the right Bible. The right beliefs. The right kind of Baptist. Not every Baptist can get in this. Are you listening to me? I love the camp meeting singing. I love the camp meeting shouting. I love the camp meeting sermons. Amen. Hey, we have a little meeting at our church every year. I had a fellow up in Wisconsin was watching us on the internet. And he said he wanted to come to the camp meeting. And so, long story short, and I ain't trying to say this for no self-glory, we sent him the money to get down here. Well, the check didn't get there before we left. This was last year. The check didn't get there before he left, so he didn't have the money to come. And him and his wife, to tell you what we ought to be enjoying, him and his wife got in the car, boiled some eggs, because they didn't have no money. They boiled eggs, and they eat eggs all the way here to get to the meat. And I talked to him this week, because he was coming this year, and some things come up. And he said, Brother Willis, he said, I appreciate you sending the money, but it didn't get there, so we just boiled some eggs, and we ate eggs to get to the meat. And he said, I can't tell you the blessing this meeting's been. I can't tell you what it's done for. I can't tell you how it's helped me and my wife get over the hump. I'm telling you, we come to him and take him for granted. Amen and amen. You better don't get over the miracle of camp meeting. Amen and amen. Somehow or another, I've got to preach a few through in the year. Amen. I love camp meeting. I never dreamed I'd be preaching in them. Amen. Pleasant View camp meeting. Sammy Allen's camp meeting. Preach. Brother Banks' camp meeting. Brother Simpson camp meeting. Brother Dale Massagill camp meeting. Western North Carolina camp meeting. Foothills Baptist camp meeting. Help me, church. Welch Creek camp meeting. Back to Bethel camp meeting. Pickens County camp meeting. Mayfield Creek camp meeting. How about Jubilees? I ain't never figured the difference. What's the difference between a camp meeting and a Jubilee? I figure camp meetings are long and Jubilees are shorter. That's what I figured, amen. I had a fellow call me and said, I want you to preach at my camp meeting. I said, wonderful. He said, I'm in Moloch, North Carolina. I said, well, that couldn't be far away. I'm in South Carolina. You in Moloch. He said, okay. So I drove up there. I was going to preach one night. I drove 8 hours to get there. And I'm telling you, Brother Barry, when I got there, if I'd have drove past the tent 50 yards, I'd have been in the ocean. And we got out of hand, Brother Doug, this is the honest God truth. And I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that's where he at. I don't have no room to knock nobody. I'm in St. Stephen. But I got out there to preach that night. It was in July. I'm telling you, there was chiggers. There was mosquitoes. I'm telling you, there was every kind of insect you could have in that camp meeting. Amen. The grass was that high. It was 110 degrees under that tent. And I preached and every stitch on me was wet. I couldn't get my tie off. I had to peel my clothes off. And I got in my car and drove back home. And I said, and he said, would you come back? I said, I doubt it. Is anybody listening? You better enjoy this jubilee. You ain't fighting chiggers. You ain't fighting mosquitoes. You're going to a nice bed tonight, amen. Thank God for camp meeting. There is something about camp meeting and jubilee. We used to see men called to preach. We used to see major decisions made. Amen. We used to see boy meet girl, get together, get married. Maybe that's still happening, but I tell you, I don't think it's happening like it used to. Amen. Thank God for camp meeting. Don't get over camp meeting. Amen. Well, I don't want none of that to grow cold on me. I want to stay fired up for God. Amen. I want to get in my Bible every morning. Though we got a lot to do, I want to get in prayer every morning. I want to stay with God. Amen. Till the Lord comes. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray you'd bless the Word of God. Lord, I tried to preach what I thought you gave me tonight. Use it, I pray. Challenge your people. Help your people. Help us to see, realize we are a blessed people. God, to live in such a day. And Lord, in this part of the country, you could go to a meeting every night at some church. Lord, people around the world not blessed like that. Not even in our part of the country. But God, I am so grateful, so thankful that you allowed us to be in this meeting. Help us now, I pray. Bless this service all week. Bless this invitation. Help this pastor now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the pastor's coming. Amen. Pastor, you come if you want.